All right, welcome back, everybody, to another edition, a special edition, bonus edition of the Tigers podcast here at the Detroit News. I'm Tony Paul, and joined today, a special guest, my good buddy from the Detroit News, our esteemed film critic, music critic, does it all, Adam Graham, joining me. Adam,
Hold up.
how are you?
I'm great, Tony. How are you? The baseball season is upon us,
I know
which
the
is
Tigers are undefeated. It's amazing.
good.
Amazing.
They're undefeated as of the recording of this podcast.
Exactly. Hopefully we can get this up fast so they'll still be undefeated before this is recorded on Monday, April 1st. They, of course, swept the White Sox in Chicago to start the season, all one-run victories. First time ever the Tigers have opened the season with three one-run victories. Fans are going a little crazy. I'm reading stuff that they're the favorite to win the AL Central now. I think we need to hold off just a hair. It's
Too
early.
early.
A little early. It's funny because I have a standing bet with the athletic director at Western Michigan, who is a huge Pirates fan. And of course, both the Tigers and Pirates have been terrible for a long time. And we do a lunch bet every year on who has the better record. And I'm winning. I have a winning record in that regard. But
Nice.
the Tigers and Pirates are both 3-0. So we decided we're definitely going to settle up this bet at the World Series this year. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah. The Tigers are going to New York to play the Mets in a series out there and then coming home opening day on Friday. Do you go to opening day at all ever?
I have a great history early in my life with opening days. And it really is one of the great memories that I have as a kid growing up is like being in class for the first half of the day. And then getting that pass to leave. Like somebody comes into the classroom, Adam, and I get up and everyone's like, where are you going, Adam? I'm like, I'm going to opening day. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, toodles. And I remember doing that. I don't know. It felt like every year. I went to at least five, six, seven of those early opening days when I was in elementary school, going down to Tiger Stadium. And it was just the best.
Tiger
Great
Stadium,
memories of
right?
that.
Tiger Stadium was the best.
Yeah, it was a great time to be young and a Tigers fan and going to opening day ball games. I loved
I don't know if it was a great time to be a Tigers fan because you grew up the
that.
same, pretty much the same time I did, and they were not very good. But opening day, they were always maybe going to be good, you know?
Yeah, it was the environment, man.
Yeah.
It was being there. It was being in the sunshine. It was like the start of something new every
Yes.
year. It always felt like you were getting away with something
I know.
to be down there at the game.
I know, and you never knew if it was going to be 70 and sunny or 20
Well,
and snowing. I've seen it all.
there was a couple of years ago when Miguel Cabrera hit the first home run of the
Blizzard.
season
Yeah, in the
and it was
blizzard.
snowing in the photos. It was great.
Yeah, Topps came out with a really, I think you showed it to me. I actually bought a couple of them. Topps came out with an awesome card of that home run in the blizzard.
I think I bought that too. But
Yeah.
anymore, in my adult years, less and less.
Yeah.
I've been to a handful of games over the last. I probably haven't been to opening day in like 10 years.
Okay. All right. I have only missed one opening day in 10 years. The COVID year, I think I missed because it
Well,
was strict. I think I don't
things are
know
unique.
exactly how many in a row other than that that I've made. Probably 15, maybe. I don't know.
That's great. It's
Yeah.
a great thing to be able to count on. Just like this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's just a special day. Anyway, that's next Friday. Tigers will be playing the Oakland A's, the soon to be Las Vegas A's or whatever. So anyway, I want to tell everyone why Adam is joining us today on this special edition of the Detroit News podcast. We'll have Chris back on Thursday as we or later this week. We'll talk Thursday. It might be posted on Friday. We'll talk about opening day and talk about where the Tigers are, get into a little bit more of the weeds with baseball. But Adam's joining us because Adam and I have talked about doing this for a while. And because we're both lazy, we haven't gotten around to it for 5 years. So now we're finally
It's
going to
not because
do
we're lazy, Tony. It's
it.
because
Well,
we
we're
got too much other
busy.
stuff going on.
We're busy. We both cover many things. And sometimes getting it all nailed down is a little trickier than people realize. So anyway, Adam, of course, is our esteemed film critic. Very good. Check out his work at DetroitNews.com. We don't agree on anything. in regard to movies, which probably makes him more qualified than me because I don't have the best taste in movies, which we're about to find out probably. Anyway, baseball movies. It's a fascinating genre of movie. A ton of movies. It's probably the most popular sport, I think, when it comes to movies is baseball. Over the years, a lot to choose from. And we decided we're going to go over our top baseball movies, but we're not just going to throw them out there and say, I like this movie, I like that movie, blah, blah, blah. We're going to do a baseball movie draft because everyone loves drafts and mock drafts. Everyone loves it. It's cheap content. And it gets people riled up, and nothing more than we like to get people riled up because then they click. And we love click.
Love
So anyway, we're going to do this because Adam's the guest. We're going to do a 10-round draft of baseball movies, which I was going through this over the weekend, and we're going to leave a lot out. And it's going to be pretty incredible and remarkable, the movies that don't get picked. But because Adam is the guest, he has won the right, out of my generosity. Adam has won the right to have the number one overall pick. So we're not going to do a snake draft. It's just going to be Adam goes one, I'll go two, he goes three, I'll go four, and so on. And we're going to do 10 rounds and chat about them a little bit. And hope you guys enjoy this. Yeah, Adam,
Yeah.
you're on the clock.
Well, I appreciate you letting me have the first pick.
I know, and
And
I'm really worried here. I'm really, really worried.
no. I think I know where your heart is at. And I took that into slight consideration, but mostly I have to speak my own truth.
And by the way, I just want to tell people we have not discussed this beforehand.
We have not.
We have texted back and forth that, because Adam spent some time this weekend watching a couple movies. I watched my hopeful first pick last night. But we have not discussed this. This is on the fly. So we hope you guys enjoy. Adam, take it away.
And again, my guess is that this is not where you're going. And again, I had to stay nearest and near and dear to my heart. And with my number one pick, I'm going with Major League, Tony.
Oh, okay. All
I'm
right.
going with Major League.
All right.
1989, you got a great cast in here. You got Charlie Sheen, Wesley Snipes, Tom Berenger, Corbin Burnson, Dennis Haysbert would go on to be the All-State guy. You got James Gammon as the coach. He's a great kind of, oh, that guy, but he's just got that kind of gruff voice that you want out of a coach. There's a lot of
My kind
baseball
of team,
movies.
Charlie. My kind of team.
Baseball movies, the coach is such an important role.
And we're going to see that, I think, in a lot of these, that that
Yeah, and
happens.
James Gammon in that role just really has the feel of a coach who's done there, seen it. Done it all, seen it all. You got René Russo. You got Bob Uecker, of
Yes,
course,
Bob
in this
Uecker.
movie, calling the plays. And you got Chelsea Ross as the older grizzled pitcher. Another that guy, another character actor who just came in and threw heaters in this movie. In that role, this movie was written and directed by David S. Ward, who would go on to make The Program. A few years later, The Program was kind of like the major league of college football, if you will. You remember, I saw The Program on opening night in the theater when it still had the scene where they were laying down in the street. You remember they ended up taking that out, like because kids were doing it that weekend. The ni early 90s were a wild time. But I think a key to this movie, Tony, is the
The key
Cleveland
is it's
Indians.
freaking hilarious.
Yeah, oh yeah. But yeah, it's a hilarious movie. But the Cleveland Indians, when you use a real team and when you can relate, you're not inventing a world where you have to accept that this team is a team in the league, and then you have to kind of alter your reality. This isn't really MLB, this is something else. When you're using a team, and especially the Cleveland Indians, especially the Cleveland Indians at that time, it had all this kind of weight with it, and you could easily buy into this world. And I think that if you make this like a minor league team, or if you make this like a fake MLB team, you don't get the same punch that you do with using the Cleveland Indians with the logos in the stadium, that you do get in this movie. Like you said, it's funny, it's light, it's kind of like for middle schoolers. It's kind of got like that middle school sense of humor, and it just works all around. It's also a great underdog story.
Yeah.
Everyone likes a good underdog story you can get behind. And Wild Thing is forever. Ricky Vaughn's theme. Every time you hear Wild Thing, you think Ricky Vaughn, you think him coming to the mound, and it just He owns it. Love Major League. I haven't seen it in a few years, but I
It's
imagine
classic.
it would play just the same. Great Wesley Snipes, Willie Mays Hayes. And you also get the sense of the fans. You get the sense of those fans in the stadium who are diehards. They're
Well,
there
and
every game.
the crazy thing is that movie was actually filmed at County Stadium in Milwaukee, and they brought in extras and they filmed all those scenes at like 4 in the morning. And they literally,
Ooh.
this was before all the special effects. They brought in 50,000 fans at 4 in the morning to do these scenes in downtown Milwaukee. But great, great movie, no question,
It's just a
top.
lot of fun. It's
Oh, it's.
a cable classic. If it's on, you watch it from whatever point you jump in on it at,
It's great.
and it doesn't get old.
Yeah, it's great. You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball? All right, Harris, let's not start a holy war here. That great movie.
Up your butt, Joe Boo.
Chobu bartender,
And this
bartender
was
Chobu
early
degree.
Wesley Snipes. This is only like his second or third movie. He had done
Oh.
Wildcats, I think, a couple years before. But you're catching Snipes right at the lightning moment, you know?
Oh, I mean, it's hilarious in the beginning when they're going over the players they're inviting to camp. And the guy's like, this guy here is dead. Well, cross him off then. Oh, just, that was a great pick. And that was number two on my list. So it
I
was.
figure, look, I think I know where you're going with number one. And if you don't go there, then we're gonna have some then I'm really stealing from you something from you in the second round.
All right, Major League number one overall pick. I think that a lot of people would agree. And but it just depends on your perspective and what kind of movies you like, because there's 10 movies that I think that if you ask different people could be a number one overall pick. So Major League, excellent pick. I think you're gonna get all A's from the draft experts when they recap this. All right, number one, I watched it last night. I watch it probably once a year, maybe more. It is The Sandlot.
I knew it. I
Is that it?
knew I
You
knew
knew
it,
it?
and
All right.
it's part of the reason I backed off, but also I know I Tony, if you know Tony, you know he's a Sandlot guy.
Yeah, it's first of all, it's pure childhood baseball. And I grew up, I mean, I didn't grow up in the 60s like this movie is set, but this was kind of like childhood for me because I mean, I grew up Paw Paw, Michigan, in our backyard, going up against our backyard was this like farm, and the owner of the farm let us take the back part of his property, and we made a baseball field in the backyard, in his back of his farm. Like we had dugouts, we had, I mean, it was mowed every day. Like we took like, and we were out there summertime, sun up till sundown, like these kids from the Sandlot. So just this childhood for me. Watched it again last night. Hilarious group of young kids. Just, I mean, Benny the Jet, Squints, Smalls, Porter. I mean, just it's to me, that's what we grew up doing. We played baseball sun up till sundown in the summertime. James Earl freaking Jones. I mean, great, great performance by him. To me, and by the way, a great soundtrack. If you listen to the soundtrack, just phenomenal. Sandlot to me, pure baseball. I mean, and just, for nostalgia purposes, just taking you back to childhood. That's an easy number one for me.
Yeah, the thing with the Sandlot is it is that it's those pure summertime childhood vibes, going out when the day starts, hitting the
Not
street with
coming
your
home.
pals, and
And
just hanging out all day
yeah.
until it was time to come home and eat dinner, or you'd already missed dinner. It was just
Right.
time to come home because it was dark.
When the street lights went on, you came home. Like, and there
Exactly.
were no cell phones. There were no, just be home before dark or whatever.
And
That's
it's a great coming of age movie. It's kind of like Stand By Me without the darkness or without the dead body. You know what I mean? It's like you get those same vibes. It's like a Christmas story for summertime.
Right. No, absolutely. So I watched it again last night, and it to me, obviously the s'mores scene is great. You take the chocolate and you take, but then there's the pool scene, Where squints with Wendy Peppercorn, that's like a Me Too moment. You know, if that would not happen in the day, in today's world. And by the way, Dennis Leary's in there and his Babe Ruth ball gets stolen and Dennis Leary doesn't even swear like that, you know.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Oh,
Those t-shirts.
I have the shirt. I have the shirt.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course.
The Great Bambino, all that stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. Just 98 cents or whatever to buy a new baseball. Yeah. Yeah. Great movie.
1993's The Sandlot.
93, man. And most of the kids didn't really go on to do much. The one Benny the Jet went on to be in the Mighty Ducks, but that's about it.
And the redhead kid is he's like on social media. I think he
Oh
might be on Cameo. I bet you this is like high time for him on Cameo. I think like a lot of people get like early baseball season messages from
yeah.
that
Oh,
kid.
I'm sure. I'm sure. All right, so we got Adam took Major League number one. I took Sandlot number two. It's back to Adam.
Back to me. And again, we're not necessarily doing like the best baseball movies. We're doing our favorite
Right,
baseball movies.
for sure.
And in my next slot, I'm taking Everybody Wants Some. I'm taking Everybody Wants Some from 2016, the Richard Linklater movie. It's about a college baseball team. It's kind of like Linklater's 80s answer to Dazed and Confused. And it's a great hang movie. It's a great baseball movie because it's like a it's a group of baseball dudes hanging around, but it's like the way that Linklater makes movies that you just want to hang out with. You want to hang out with the characters. It feels like Linklater as a filmmaker is hanging out with his characters in the movie. That's the vibe you get from watching this movie. It's a great ensemble. You got Glenn Powell in there. Glenn Powell Top Gun Maverick, his real glow up. And now, Glenn Powell's taking over the world. Back then, with Wyatt Russell and Blake Jenner and J. Quinton Johnson and a great Zoe Deutsch is in this movie. You got great tunes on the soundtrack, bunch of 80s tunes from Van Halen. You got Hot Chocolates, Everyone's a Winner. You got My Sharona. You got Heart of Glass by Blondie. You got Whip It. You got Good Times Roll by the Cars. Just a fun hangout movie. Hanging out with an 80s baseball squad in Texas, which is Linklater's home turf. Love this movie, and I think that it's a little bit under the radar, especially to get taken this high in the draft, but I didn't
Yes.
want you to sneak it from me somehow, thinking that I was going to be asleep at the wheel. So I'm taking Everybody Wants Some exclamation point as my next pick.
Okay. Yeah, that is an under the radar pick. To the point where you probably could have gotten it in the 10th round. Because I've never seen it.
Oh, come on.
And honestly, you know, this is why you're the movie critic, because you've seen everything. I've never heard of it. Until I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes yesterday with baseball movies. It's up there, by the way. It's 87% freshness. So I guess it's
Yeah, ma'am.
gonna have to go on my list. But yeah, you probably could have held out on that one and gone with something a little.
Well, I know. I think I know some of the moves that you're going to make, and I wanted to have you both be able to make those moves. And look, if I
I
was
don't need your
rearranging
charity here. I've got a
this,
strategic plan.
I probably could have filed this
Yeah,
back a
yeah,
few picks, but I'm
yeah.
glad that I got it in there.
All right, now number
So
four.
what are we doing if not recommending films?
Right. All right, my second round pick. I'm torn between two here, but I think I'm gonna go with The Natural.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go with that. Just a classic baseball movie. And by the way, I mean, unless you've seen it, I mean the cast there is freaking crazy too. I mean, obviously Robert Redford, but Robert Duvall, Glenn Close, Kim Basinger, Wilford Brimley is the manager. Again,
Again, yes.
we go back to the managers. I love when Bump Bailey like drops a fly ball out of laziness and he comes in and Wilford Brimley's character asks what happened. He said he lost it in the sun and he looks up. And it's all clouds and it's dreary. And Wilford Brimley is just like, Pops is just like blinding. great movie. Obviously, the classic scene at the end when he hits a home run.
Oh yeah.
In the light tower. I mean, early in the movie, he like knocked the cover off the ball and then he hits the light tower. And great, great movie. Also came out in 84, which was a good year for baseball in Detroit.
Oh yeah.
You know, some people, you know, I talked to some colleagues over the years that kind of sour on this movie. I don't know. I like it. And the sound of the bat, the sound
Oh yeah.
bat makes in this
Yeah.
movie. You know, Wonder Boy, the bat, you know, I mean, just
And this was the New York Knights,
the New
correct?
York Knights, right? Yep.
See,
And these
there's that hurdle there. There's that small hurdle there. If it would have been like the Yanks or even like the Mets or something, it would have played differently. Having it be the Knights kind of sets it in this kind of fictional universe.
Right, for sure. But to me, just because of the classic scenes and
Well,
the
and the song, the music, the
oh, the music,
score.
the score is phenomenal. I mean, it's
Yeah.
I have it on my playlist. The
It's
main,
all time.
I mean, it's incredible. And then and the cast is just ridiculous. And
Yeah, I remember that movie being on HBO a ton when I was a kid, and it just feeling special every time it was on.
yeah, and I love when Roy Hobbs goes into the owner's office and the owner like the lights off and they had a big fight and Robert Redford Roy Hobbs leaves the office before he does, he flips the light switch and pisses off the owner. Great movie, classic, going natural for my second
Yeah.
round pick.
Good call. That allows me to take this one, which I didn't think would still be on the board by now. But I'm going Field of Dreams in
That was getting close to me, yeah.
1989 ultimate Costner baseball movie. Costner's got his own genre of baseball
Right,
movies.
I know he does.
This is the tip top ultimate dad movie status. And it's just like it's infused with like real baseball history, to the point where like Major League Baseball has come around and embraced it, holding the game, which I believe that you went to the
Yeah.
game, did you not?
No, I did not go to the game. I went to the Field of Dreams this year when I was covering Iowa football against Michigan State. So we took a little detour because I drove out there. And so we took a little detour and it was cool. I mean, it was like, I mean, it was the film set. They haven't done much to it. And
That's amazing.
it's pretty neat. I mean, obviously they have a little big gift shop off to the side where you can buy t-shirts for the low price of $89.99. But
And that's where they have the game, right? They do the game
they
there.
not on that field because it's not,
Okay.
but just off to the side, they built like a major league regulation stadium right near there. But they still use corn as the outfield backdrop and for that. But I think the Tigers, are they playing in that game this year?
That'd be great.
They might be, or either. Well, baseball does a game at the Field of Dreams and they do a game in Williamsport. So the Tigers are doing one of those this year, I think. Anyway, great movie. I was talking, name drop alert, to Timothy Busfield last year. He had done a thing up at Michigan State and for their baseball opener. And I was talking to him, and he's obviously been in a couple baseball movies. And I was asking him which one was his favorite. He's been in Field of Dreams and he was in Little Big League. He played a little bit more of a starring role in Little Big League. He was the first baseman. But I asked him which was his favorite baseball movie. And he was like, well, Field of Dreams isn't really a baseball movie, is what he told me. He's like, it's a father-son movie. And he's right in reality. I mean, he really is right. But obviously, the backdrop of baseball and the old names and Shoeless Joe and everything. That was a cool movie. No question. The voice, I
Nominated
watched
for
it when I
Best
was
Picture.
younger. I think I was 10 years old when it came out.
Yeah.
The voice is creepy. I mean, the if you build it, they will come. And that was a little creepy when you're a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
But good movie, good performance.
It was
That,
nominated for Best Picture. It was
yeah, the
nominated
hot dog
again.
choking scene was could have done without.
Up for Best Picture against My Left Foot, Dead Poets Society, Born on the 4th of July, and ultimately lost to Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, that's a pretty stacked class, so.
It was a pretty stacked class. It was a pretty good
I probably put three of those ahead of Field of Dreams. So.
I also, I love Ray Liotta as Shoeless
Oh,
Joe.
yeah.
It's a year before Goodfellas. It's a year before he becomes like classic Liotta villain. He had been doing the villain thing for a while. He did it in Something Wild, very memorably. But I'm always a big Leota guy. I love the fact that he can play Shoeless Joe and Henry Hill.
Yeah.
Versatile.
By the way, also
Field of Dreams.
James Earl Jones in that one as well.
Yeah.
Really, really good character. And Burt
I think
Lancaster.
earlier you referred to him as James Earl Frickin' Jones, which is
James Earl Frickin' Jones is in that
the
one.
emphasis.
And Burt Lancaster too. Pretty good cast. But it's a cool, I would recommend going to see the site if you're anywhere in the area. It's really neat. I think they've made the outfield a little bit bigger because there's so many people that are walking around taking pictures. So I think that it's cool. But they don't charge you anything
Well, I
for it.
thought it was, they made the outfield bigger because too many people were hitting home runs.
Maybe, but again, they don't have maybe, possibly. They do let kids like play on there and take swings and everything. And then they do, and they don't charge you anything to go there. They ask for like a donation if you want, but and we're already getting the Zoom notification, so we're gonna have to speed through this.
Let's
Well,
fly.
we're gonna have to do two parts here, but no, I would definitely recommend going to see the field. It's pretty neat. And they do like this reenactment thing too with old-timey baseball people. Like on the weekends, they'll do like a reenactment old school game on the diamond. So it's pretty cool. Like the benches are there, the house is there.
That's great.
It's really neat. It
Well,
is.
it's a real case of like the world embracing a movie.
Oh, I know. I know. It's totally cool. I definitely recommend if you're in the area, definitely go and do see the Field of Dreams. It was on my list. It was actually, you didn't steal it from me. I had another one ahead of it, and you're gonna probably be surprised. But I just mentioned this movie. And to me, a lot of people are gonna disagree. There's a lot of better, I guess, better quality movies, better acting movies. No question. But that's your gig, right? You're the snob, you're the film dude. You know, that's why you and I disagree, because I am easily entertained. So for me, and this was I'm getting this pick in the third round right where I had it. So I'm going with Little Big League
Oh.
as my number three pick. Really like this movie. Again, Timothy Busfield is in it, but and Jason Robards is in it. But other than that, not really a cast that's recognizable, except for all the Major League Baseball players who are in this movie, the Randy
Ah.
Johnsons, the Ken Griffey Juniors, I think Mickey Tettleton might be in this movie.
Mickey Tettleton.
But the best part about this movie, and I think I've read something or watched something or whatever over the years, but the director or the producer of the movie, their biggest focus here, and obviously the plot is, you know, the grandfather owns the team. And he dies, and he leaves the team to the little kid, Billy. And Billy decides, screw it, I'm gonna name myself the manager. And so he's in like middle school, and he's the manager of the Minnesota Twins. So that's the plot. Obviously, not based in reality, which is why you probably hate this movie. But the best part about it was the producers and directors, their biggest goal with this movie was to make the actual baseball on the field, the play, look like Major League Baseball, like look like these guys could play. And for the most part, I think they pulled it off. Also, when I talked to Busfield about this last year, because he plays a bigger role in this movie, he's the first baseman, ends up dating Billy's mom, I think, at some point. I was talking to him, and there's this scene where Billy names himself the manager, and the coach, the older coach, is like, well, how can you be the manager? What would you do in this situation? What would you do in this situation? And then Billy gives like a dissertation about why this move is wrong and this move is wrong and this move, and then why he would do it that way and this way. And basically, it was like the forefront, the first little glimmer of analytics that we saw in baseball was this little kid with his theories about baseball. So to me, that's what I like about it. And plus the baseball on the field and seeing the major leaguers. To me, I enjoyed it. Little Big League,
Yeah.
third round pick.
There you go.
Do you hate that movie?
Tony, I think you're slightly calling me out here.
Have you not seen it?
I don't know that I've seen it.
Okay, it was a while ago, so you weren't a film critic yet. So,
I wasn't on the clock back then.
right. It came out in '94,
Okay.
and by the way, the coach that ends up working with Billy, the manager, the coach is John Ashton, who was also in who was most notably, I think, known for Beverly Hills Cop movies. And it's also going to be in the new Beverly Hills Cop movie, which comes out this summer. So, I recommend it just because the baseball is quality baseball. So,
Well, I feel like if it was 94, it was coming, it was like riding the coattails of Rookie of the Year.
well, yeah, they came out very close together. Very close.
Yeah. And Rookie of the Year did really, really well. So people were like, hey, how do we capitalize on Rookie of the Year success? Rookie of the Year is not my next pick. My next pick,
All right, this is
Tony.
the fourth round. And let's just recap this really quick.
Yeah.
Adam, in the first round, Adam took Major League. I took The Sandlot. In the second round, Adam took some movie that allegedly is called Everybody Wants Some. And I
Two
took
exclamation points.
so now we each have a movie that the other hasn't seen, which is interesting. I didn't think we'd have that at this stage in the draft. The Natural was my second round pick. He went with Field of Dreams. And then I went with Little Big League. So I think each of us have kind of a surprise pick in there. I think Little Big League's probably a little higher than many people might, and Everybody Wants Some is definitely way higher than anybody would have expected. All right, fourth round, Adam. Here we go. It's your pick.
I don't want you crying about this one
Uh-oh.
because there's no crying in baseball.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm going with A League of Their Own from 1992.
Wow.
Highest grossing baseball movie of all time, Tony.
Is it really?
It is the
Oh, the
highest grossing
cast.
movie
It's
of
the
all time.
cast. Yeah.
Great cast, great timing, great story, great timing in the culture. Gina Davis, Tom Hanks, Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell, Lori Petty. You get Tom Hanks
Yeah.
at this like key moment in his career, right? Before he like ascends into the cosmos. He's winning the Oscar the next year, and he's winning the Oscar the next year as well, for Philadelphia and for Forrest Gump. But here, he's kind of like he's at that transitional period. And again, playing the coach, he kind of has shades of the grizzled coach, but he's not like the pot-bellied coaches that we
All right.
mentioned before that we really love,
But
or with the
it comes back to all these movies, outside of like Field of Dreams and Everybody Wants.
yeah,
They all
absolutely.
have their manager. You made a really good point about that.
But it's period era World War II story of a women's baseball team. It just hit at the right time. It's a solid story. It's an important story, especially for the time. And I think it's pretty telling that of all the movies that we're talking about, this, like I said, leads the league. I think in its initial run, and we're not in adjusting for inflation, the only baseball movie to cross $100 million at the domestic box office.
Wow. What year did that come out?
1992.
So that was kind of like Rosie O'Donnell's breakout role.
Yeah, I mean, look, and you're getting Madonna
And
at
she
this.
got that, and she got that role. I think I was reading an interview. She got that role because she could play. Like
Oh, yeah.
she could play ball. And
Well, I think this is where Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell become really good friends. And again, you're talking about Madonna, the biggest pop star on the planet, taking like a supporting role. Madonna's acting career, this is the pinnacle of Madonna's acting career, and she had always wanted to be the star of the movie. It turns out she was best suited in a supporting role in a larger cast.
So yeah, that's a good pick. That's good value. That's good value at number
Good
four.
value for this at this point in the draft.
All right, I'm torn between two here with the fourth round pick, but I'm gonna go with another Kevin Costner movie. I'm gonna go for Love of the Game, because it's again, it's a fun baseball story, and it's a good love story. And so I'm gonna go for Love of the Game. Partially because, it's the Tigers, so that's kind of cool. They're at Yankee Stadium. I think Vin Scully's on the call while he's pitching this perfect game. Remember the catcher comes out. I think it's John C. Reilly
It is.
comes out to Kevin Costner, and he's like, "Yeah, we don't stink anymore. Right now, we don't stink." My least favorite part of the movie, though, is the little kid who gets called up and is the last batter of the game. Don't want to spoil it for anybody, so tune out if you haven't watched For Love of the Game yet. You're only a couple decades late. But I think this kid gets called up and he's going to try to break up the perfect game, and he hits a slow chopper that must have taken 18 to 20 bounces, and they still throw him out. To me, I don't think this kid's going to last in the majors if he can't beat out a ball that bounces 20 times. But it's Tigers and J.K. Simmons, and again, manager J.K. Simmons,
Great manager
big
role.
Tiger fan, is the manager in there. So I'm gonna go for Love of the Game. Kevin Costner's other baseball movie. I think he's got even other ones, but I don't think any others are gonna make this list. But I'm gonna go for Love of the Game, fourth round.
I would take the entirety of the Kelly Preston storyline out of the movie.
Well, I didn't hate it, except it just kept going back and forth. It's like, all right, figure out what you two want. Like, like it's like, you love each other, you hate each other. Let's move on. What are we gonna do here? It just,
Right.
I get that. I think some semblance of it, but an entertaining movie. Not perfect.
No,
Most
for
baseball
sure.
movies are not perfect.
You know, a Tigers movie where they're on the road the whole time. Never get any of them at home. Even like in the flashbacks to other games in the past, it's always road games. It's always they're in Lakeland.
They couldn't get
But
the lease. They
Costner
couldn't get
looks
the lease to
great.
Tiger Stadium.
Costner looks great in a Tigers uniform. Jesse
Not the
Bradley.
best pitching skills. Not the best pitching skills.
It's convincing to the average viewer, and I like that they're like.
I'll tell you what, it's more convincing than his golf swing is in Tin Cup. I'll give you that.
There's interplay between pitchers and batters in this movie where it calls on like the personal relationship between these
The
guys.
one who the guy a
I
former
like
teammate,
that.
the former teammate who got traded or whatever, or
Yeah,
Bergard.
there's really good baseball stuff in here. I just don't think that the love story works at all. But this was made by Sam Raimi, local guy. So you get Sam Raimi, local guy. You get J.K. Simmons, local guy. You get a lot of local flair. And I feel like had we had tax credits at the time, that game might have been at home. But they had to
Exactly.
shoot away
Maybe they'll
games.
do the sequel. Maybe if we get these tax credits passed again, we'll do the sequel here.
Well,
But
this year
because
marks
I
our
think
eighth.
a lot of the local stuff is probably why it's higher up on my list. Probably would be a little bit further
Oh,
down.
for sure. Look, love for it. Love of the game. I would make some edits, and I think that Sam Raimi at this point would make some edits too. This movie was 2 hours and 20 minutes. I think we can wrap this in 85, and we have a much tighter movie. But yeah, Costner looks freaking great in it's funny.
I know,
I'll
and
say
then
this
he's like,
before we move
he
on.
chops his hand off, and he's standing there for like 30 minutes while his wife or girlfriend what doesn't even notice. Like, hi, hi.
We move forward. I am going with for my next one. I'm going with Bull Durham. Let's just
Okay, all right. I
let's keep it
forgot
in the
about Bull
family.
Durham. So we're there is another Kevin Costner movie, the third installment of the Kevin Costner baseball trilogy.
Yeah, and I think some people would put this highest. Well, I don't know. I think it would be like an arm wrestling match between Field of Dreams and Bull Durham. Bull Durham's interesting. I don't think that we ever buy Tim Robbins as a credible pitcher in this thing. Even as the character, his pitches are all over the place. How is this guy on the brink of going to the bigs when he's hitting like the mascot six or seven times during games? His pitch is just all over the place. But this is like I don't know. At the time growing up, I was like too young to watch this movie. There's a lot of sex in this movie. Sex is a full-on plot in this movie, and it was just I was too young to grasp it at the time.
And
And then coming back to it later in life, it plays differently now than it would have then. But there's good baseball stuff, and there's good kind of grizzled Costner stuff. Like I said, he's the mentor to Tim Robbins' younger pitcher. Kevin Costner's character is brought on the team in the North Carolina minor league system to kind of mentor the Tim Robbins character, and kind of not only does he mentor him on the field, but he mentors him off the field as well, gives him lessons in baseball, lessons in life. This is the kind of 80s movie, Tony, where there's like roaring saxophones in like the bars and things like this. There's a lot of bars in this movie. There's a lot of drinking in this movie. But it's a good baseball movie about kind of like the mentality and the kind of almost like the inherent cool of baseball players, which I think that's one of the reasons why baseball you just get more baseball movies than you do the other major sports. Baseball
Well, it's America's
players are
pastime.
cool.
More people, more, I mean, it's football is more popular, but more people, I think, casual sports fans relate to baseball more, and so I think that there's a, the casual person in the United States relates to baseball, which is why I think baseball is more appealing. This,
Baseball's more cinematic.
yeah, well, it is that too. But this movie, you mentioned it too. I watched this movie when I was young, and I didn't connect with it because I was so young, and so it actually isn't even on my list, which a lot of people would disagree with. But there were some funny lines in there, like when he Kevin Costner tips the pitch off to the hitter, and he hits a home run. And it's
Oh, yeah.
like,
They're
oh,
like,
that guy hit the pitch like he knew it was coming. And Kevin Costner's like, yeah, he did. I told
I told him meat. He's always calling him meat. Come
Yeah.
on, meat.
No, Bull Durham, solid. A lot of people disagree that I don't have it on there, but I respect it. I'll have to go back and probably watch it again. But for my fifth round pick, I am going with more. With more, not cheese, I guess, but more sentimental and emotional heartstrings. I'm gonna go with The Rookie.
Nice.
I'm gonna go with The Rookie. I had a couple of movies in this slot, but I kind of like that one just because it's actually kind of based on a true story. It's based on the pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, Jim Morris, who makes his major league debut very late in life at 35 years old. He was a school teacher and a coach, and then decides to go give it a shot in the majors, and just a good sentimental movie. I'm not sure if it's Disney. Yeah, it's Disney.
It's
Of course,
definitely
it is.
Disney.
Great scene there where, he's driving his old pickup truck down the road and sees one of those little, car speed signs, and he throws the fastball, and it was maybe like in the 70s or something, and then he just
Oh,
walks away. And then, like, the light flickers back on, and it's actually in the 90s. And good movie, solid movie. Dennis Quaid, the better Quaid, is in that
yeah.
movie.
Better than Randy.
Yeah, solid movie. The Rookie, my number five pick.
Yeah, the rookie did good business too. The rookie is fourth on the list of highest grossers. It made $75 million in the theaters.
Because it's Disney.
Yeah, Disney, Quaid, solid movie. Disney knows how to pump out an inspirational sports drama.
Well, they sure do. All right. We are halfway through the draft. Just a recap here. Adam, who had the first pick, he went Major League, Everybody Wants Some, Field of Dreams, A League of Their Own, and Bull Durham. So he's winning the Kevin Costner Hall 2-1. I went with The Sandlot, The Natural, Little Big League, For Love of the Game, and The Rookie. We're halfway through. Let's pound out these last five. Sixth round pick for Adam.
I'm going with Moneyball.
All right.
New school classic.
Another great manager performance.
Another absolutely Philip
Philip
Seymour
Seymour Hoffman.
Hoffman just owning that A's uniform, and you
Wow. Yeah.
believe him in it.
Oh, yeah.
Great manager. You got Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill. This was also nominated for Best Picture, I believe. Also, Brad Pitt was nominated for Best Actor. Jonah Hill was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Jonah Hill was phenomenal. Let's talk.
You mentioned the analytics
Yeah.
that came into play in Little Big League. This movie, by the time we get to 2011, it's all
Yeah,
analytics.
this is the analytic kingpin for sure.
You take money. You take the world of Moneyball. And you show it to the characters in the world of Bull Durham, and they don't even understand what you're talking
That's
about.
two different worlds.
And that's what this movie's about, the business of baseball, the behind the scenes business of baseball, and for with also some baseball action on the field. You got Chris Pratt out there.
He
But yeah,
plays. He plays.
it's
He
looking
plays
at the
Scott. Yeah, he plays Scott Hatterberg, and there, so one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when Billy Bean and Ron Washington are going to try to convince Scott Hatterberg to come play for them, but they want him to switch to first base, and Brad Pitt is like, oh, it's incredibly easy. Just tell him Wash, and Wash is like, it's incredibly hard. And you got a kid who's already doubting himself. Good movie. That they took some liberties, obviously based on the book, based on
Sure.
story, but they took some liberties, like when Billy Bean's making the trade with Dave Dombrowski, sending him Carlos Pena. No, Dave Dombrowski, Billy Bean did not ask Dave Dombrowski to stock their soda machine as part of the deal. That did not happen. Carlos Pena, the movie has a big part about Carlos Pena, about him taking him off the roster so Art Howe couldn't use him. And actually, Carlos Pena was actually in the minor leagues at that time. So they took some liberties for Hollywood's sake, but quality movie, quality acting by Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill. I mean, just phenomenal.
Yeah,
And then, of
Pitt's
course,
great, and
Philip Seymour Hoffman was great.
this was transitional for Jonah Hill, kind of opened him up to more roles changed, gave him a dramatic pitch in his repertoire, which he, used to great wins, to great gains. Moneyball,
I love the
2011.
line. Yeah, I love the line where Billy Bean is and Brad Pitt is like, "Do we care how he gets on base?" And he points to Jonah Hill. No, we do not. On base percentage is just fine. That's a good pick. That was on my list. It was on my list. I had to cross it off here. Okay, I'm gonna go a little bit outside the box on this one because again, I love the Tiger connection. I love the local connection. I'm gonna go with 61, which actually was an HBO movie.
Nice.
Directed by Billy Crystal, it chronicles the 1961 season between the with the home run race between Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle. So quality movie, fun movie. There's some good humor in it, and it was filmed at Tiger Stadium, which is so they must have got the what year was that? Let me see. Hold on.
It was they filmed it in 2000. I think it might have come out in 2001.
2001. So I wonder if there was tax credits then. But anyway,
Pre-tax credits.
so they filmed that at Tiger Stadium, which was cool. So there was some of the scenes with the reporter and Roger Maris, or and they're underneath in the tunnel. And I've been in those tunnels at Tiger Stadium, so it's kind of cool. Just for me watching it personally, I enjoyed that. But some slip ups too. For instance, like the Tigers, if you remember, they late in Tiger Stadium's tenure. And by the way, Tiger Stadium was done at this point, but still standing. Comerica Park had opened, but they were still up. But late in Tiger Stadium tenure, they took out some of those blue seats in the box seats and made them padded seats with the orange Tiger logo. And you can
Yeah.
still see some of those in this movie. So that's kind of funny. But good movie. Definitely good chronicle of a really memorable season, 1961. I'm gonna go into
As an intern at the Detroit News in the summer of 2000, I spent a day on the set of that movie as
Oh,
I think it was
name
the
dropper.
first. I'm trying to enhance the podcast, Tony, with personal content. I just remember like being like they invited people to come out and just be extras. And it was a long day in the sun. I remember not a lot getting filmed because everything is so slow. Everything moves so slow on film sets. I think I came back and I wrote a lead and I think it's something like lights, camera, action. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. And I was kind of down on the production. And I think that all of that got changed by the time it got to print. I think we needed a different angle for this story, Adam. But yes, I remember being there. I remember thinking it was a very big deal to be on set and watching Billy Crystal do his thing. Barry Pepper is he
Roger Maris.
Maris in that
I think he's
movie?
Maris. Yeah.
Love Barry Pepper.
Yeah. No, it was some good acting, I thought. But if you go to there's those websites that talk about they talk about the errors in movies, the mess ups in movies, that are based on reality, his real stories. There's several of them here. So it's kind of fun to go watch that. But I enjoy the movie. Not a traditional.
The time, because it was going to HBO, it was kind of looked at as a smaller production,
Right.
not as big a deal as a theatrical
But it was a
thing.
big hit, and I think in part it was a big hit because it was like only a few years after the Mark McGwire Sammy Sosa home run race. So it was kind of like a story about the original home run race between Maris
Right.
and Mantle. And so I think that helped in that regard. And good movie. I liked it.
Absolutely. Purity of baseball.
All right, seventh rounder, you. I got a lot crossed out on my list here. I might have to add some.
This is a I don't know how to say this one, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it. 2005's Fever Pitch, Tony.
Oh my God, you're going
Is it
pitch.
a great movie? Absolutely not. Have I
No.
seen it 8 times? I have, because it's a cable classic. It's another one of those ones where if it's on, you can kind of pick it up. Jimmy Fallon is difficult to watch in this movie. He's just not an actor. He
Not
had to find his way through Hollywood. He found his gig as
he found his
hosting,
niche,
better at hosting. But
yeah.
this has an adorable Drew Barrymore performance. It might be peak Drew. Drew might have gone through everything that she went through in her life and just crested here in 2005. At Fever Pitch. Of course, it's a story about a Red Sox super fan who does nothing but follow the Sox and wants them to break the curse. The movie had incredible timing to
Oh, it
coincide
did. It
with an
did. Yeah.
actual
Yeah.
Red Sox victory, and I think it forever
I think they filmed it. I think
kicked.
they got on the field. They were
They
part of the
did.
celebration.
And I think that that was a craw in the Red Sox fans' teeth. Like, what is Jimmy Fallon doing on the field at our 100-year in the making celebration? But I don't know. There's kind of, it's like the magic of movies. It's the magic of baseball. The fact that they're there, it's the last shot in the movie, is them, embracing on the field. There's a sweetness to it that kind of overrides or supersedes what I know is not a great movie. But it's got great Drew, and it's a sweet movie, and it kind of speaks to the rabid fandom of baseball fans. And for that reason, I'm making it my pick, I believe, in the seventh round,
Seventh
eighth
round. I
round.
mean, and you know, honestly, I figured that that would not make your list because it's just too terrible of a movie. As far, because
It's
there's
got I actually I came up on a rewatch recently. It's been on HBO, and the
I mean,
Drew
I'll
event.
watch it. I mean, I'm not gonna hate it, but it as
Yeah,
far
see, that's what I'm saying.
for sure.
Not everything has to win the Oscar.
No. I'm glad to hear you say that. Remember that next time you're writing a movie review that I
Hey
disagree.
man, we're just fans. We're
All
talking
right.
like fans.
All right. I'm torn here with my seventh round pick, but I'm gonna go with the sequel. I'm gonna go Major League Two. Since you stole Major League One from
Oh,
me,
hey
I'm gonna
now.
go with Major League Two, which by the way, Major League Two, I thought was pretty funny.
Oh.
It
I
has
think
a freshness rating on Rotten Tomatoes of
it's 2%.
5%. It is like the Rotten Tomatoes lists 66 baseball movies. It is the last movie on there. And I think that is totally unfair. Yeah, it's a little bit more over the top than the first one. There's no Wesley Snipes. I think it's Omar Epps. But
Sheen's back, right?
what Sheen is back. A bunch of them are back. Corbin Burnson's back. He bought the team. And I think he's like, do you think he buys the team and he's like, you think April's too day for a Roger or too early for a Roger Dorn day? But the manager again plays a great role here. They bring in a couple of new characters, a couple of funny guys. The fans, I think Randy Quaid, the lesser Quaid,
The lesser thing.
he's in there with the negative Nancy with the Indians fans. But if you're gonna go fever pitch, I think Major League Two is just as good on the acting side of things and entertaining. I couldn't believe, like I've never seen the Major League Three movie, whatever,
Back
but.
to the minors.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that Major League Two only had 5% because if you watch it, it's still pretty funny.
I need to
And Bob Uecker's in it again. And then there's the announcer who plays a little bit bigger part, his boring announcer, and Bob Uecker passes out from being drunk in the booth. And the guy hits this amazing, hits this line shot to the outfield, and this guy makes an amazing catch. And the announcer's like, fly ball, caught.
Yeah, I have to go back and watch Major League Two. It has been I think I saw it when it came out, and I don't think I've seen it since.
It's better than 5%. I'll say that. I don't know how much better. It's better than 5%.
That
All right,
puts
eighth round.
it in the very, very low percentile on Rotten Tomatoes. My next pick, Tony,
Well, that's because
again,
there's so many high quality baseball.
there's a lot of baseball movies, a lot of high quality ones. I'm not sure if this is one of them, Tony, but this one hits all of the sentimental buttons. We talked about this movie, you and I, a couple of years ago, and I think that you inspired me
Oh,
to
you're going with it.
track down the director and find out whatever happened to this movie. It's 1983's Tiger Town, which was
Oh,
the.
see, I have had that. I should have gone sooner with it.
See?
I thought I had
That's
a
why you
minute.
have to. It's strategic where
I thought I had a
you make
minute. I
the
thought I
moves.
had another round.
This was the first Disney Channel original movie.
Is that
Not the first Disney
real?
Channel original movie about the Tigers. This was the very first Disney Channel original movie,
Wow.
which is why it should be on Disney Plus. And
Not.
it's not on Disney Plus. It exists. It's on. You can find it on YouTube. I believe there's like a grainy
You got to
copy
start like an
on YouTube.
Indeed.org petition or something.
But mostly, I mean, this movie is about a kid who really loves the Tigers, and I believe that he might have magical powers. The point is, we're getting Tiger Stadium in its purest form. You're getting the Tigers, you're getting Roy Scheider plays like an aging Detroit Tiger who finds magic from
Is
this
this
kid
right
who's
after
like
Jaws or right before?
it's
After,
right at,
after.
it's after Jaws. And there's some fantastic stories about Roy Scheider on set of the movie. I believe that Al Kaline came to visit the set one day, and Scheider was standing there in the locker room completely nude and walks up to Kaline's like, "Hey, how you doing?" And then Kaline's, you gonna get dressed? But Scheider just wasn't that kind of guy. He was the kind of dude who, like, walk around nude on the set.
Oh, I could see Kaline being so uncomfortable. He was such a shy man.
Like I said, it's kind of out of circulation, but you can find it, just not through legitimate channels. You can find it on the YouTubes, I believe. But it's pure nostalgia for, pre-World Series,
Right
pre-84
before
World
the
Series
World Series.
Tigers.
Again, you talk about timing. It's like right before.
Yeah.
But cameo galore if you're a Tiger fan. Sparky Anderson, Ernie
Oh
Harwell,
yeah.
and then a couple broadcasters. Ray Lane is on it, made a, made a little clip there. And so did Al Ackerman, who Ackerman, of course, is known for being the WDIV sportscaster who came up with the Bless You Boys moniker for 1984. So some good local flavor there. And I remember watching this movie a ton when I was a kid. Right,
Yeah.
because I became a Tiger fan right at right around the World Series. Like my first memory, honestly, and life. This is true. My first memory in life is being 5 years old and watching the final out of the 1984 World Series.
Wow.
TV. Like, I remember the TV. I remember how big it was. I remember what it looked like. I remember, like, I remember the couch and the color. Like, that was like what, like, my first real memory in life was that. And then I had, my dad had bought the VHS cassette of this movie and we wore it out. I mean, it probably broke at some point. I'm sure the
In
rest.
the old clamshell, in the
Oh,
old Disney clamshell
Oh,
case.
yeah.
Well, this movie was so strange for us locally because it felt like it was only made for us. And
I
it's
know.
like, did other people get to see this? Do they make movies just for your own town? It didn't sound like a real thing.
Absolutely. Good pick. Good pick. You stole one from me there.
That's what I'm here to do. Got to
Okay.
make your job harder.
I'm going to go with this movie, and I'm not sure it's actually a baseball movie, but it's hilarious. I think it is. Some people disagree. I think it's freaking funny. This is Brewster's Millions, and
Oh.
it's with Richard Pryor and John Candy. And I think they're Richard Pryor's a minor league pitcher, John Candy's a minor league catcher, so they're right there, hilarious, right? But the baseball is kind of the backdrop of the whole movie. The real point of the movie is that Richard Pryor inherits like $300 million or something from like a long lost relative, but the only way he can get it, I think, is if he spends $30 million in 30 days without acquiring any assets. And so it's just totally hilarious, totally obscene, obscene and bizarre. But I remember one time, because there's like these lawyers that are all looking over every dime he spends to make sure he doesn't acquire any assets. And so, he they read in the newspaper that he bought this rare stamp for like millions of dollars or whatever. They're like, ha. He bought an asset, and then all of a sudden they look on their desk and there's a postcard from him, and he mailed this rare stamp. But anyway, it's probably not a baseball movie, but it's kind of the backdrop for the movie. So to me, it's hilarious. Brewster's Millions, eighth round pick.
Brewster's Millions came out in that period in the early 80s when they were just cranking out those. I feel like it's in the same category with like 48 Hours and a handful, like what else is in that, like adult, like R, that was an R-rated comedy, right? Yeah, those R-rated comedies that you kind of couldn't see, but you would always kind of look at the video store and you're like, ah, what's this one all about? It just felt like a world that was slightly beyond our own capabilities of
And and Richard Pryor at that time was just cranking out
oh
one after another, and I always found him funny, and I just thought the premise of this movie was just so ridiculous, and it was so funny, and the point of it is that his long lost relative who leaves him this money wants him to learn to hate money. And by the end of it, after he gets sick of money, and then he wins the challenge. And so then they're like, well, here's your $300 million. And by that point, he didn't even want the money. So I thought it was funny. I definitely recommend checking it out. I know a lot of people out there probably haven't seen it. I thought it was funny. Ninth round, we're getting there.
My next pick.
I still have a few that haven't been crossed out on my list.
I'm getting low on my list. I didn't expect you to take the rookie. I thought I'd be able to take the rookie at this point in the draft. So you're making me take The Fan, the Robert De Niro,
Wow.
Wesley Snipes movie
Yeah.
where baseball is just ridiculous in this movie. I believe that Wesley Snipes' character plays for the, is he played for the Giants? And Robert De Niro is a psycho super fan in the stands. I watched this movie once in when it came out in theaters. I was really psyched because I think that Tony Scott was the director. Tony Scott was coming off of True Romance, which was the movie that kind of changed the way that I watch movies. And Tony Scott's an Englishman. Tony Scott doesn't necessarily care about the rules of the game. He cares about what looks good on camera. So the final game in this movie is played in a typhoon. Like there's rain delays in baseball. Like you would not play in this much rain, but it's cinematic. So they go forward with it. And I just remember like having seen this movie 30 years ago, it like Bobby De Niro going, "Oh, Bobby!" like clapping in the audience is still in my head. And so I figure while it's not a great movie and it's maybe not a great baseball movie, it definitely made an impression. And De Niro
Was that
plays
like a
Benicio
late
del Toro.
'90s movie?
It was mid-90s. I think it was 95.
I
Maybe it
remember
was
because
96.
I worked at a video store in high school in the '90s, and I think I remember the box of that movie.
Oh yeah.
When it
It's
came out,
the binoculars.
I think we bought like 10 copies of it, and it was really popular sell right away. But it didn't last long. We in about a week we only had two copies left, and we got rid of the other eight. But yeah,
Tony, I didn't know that you were a video store kid. I was a
oh, I
video store
was,
kid
man. Best
myself.
job ever. Oh,
Oh
and
yeah.
best, obviously, free popcorn, which was awesome. Free Junior Mints. But also, right next door was a Little Caesars. And so we traded with them. Free movies for free pizza. It was awesome. Like, it was awesome. So,
You go.
best job. Best job. All right. I've seen this movie once and I liked it. I didn't love it like a lot of people did. But it's pretty. I think there were some good critics here who liked this movie. I'm gonna go with Eight Men Out,
Oh yeah, of course.
which was obviously the story of the 1919 Chicago White Sox, who took they took bribes. Some of them did to throw the World Series. It's obviously Shoeless Joe Jackson. That's where his legend really comes from. Was he got banned from baseball over this, even though he had a really good World Series. And maybe took the money because these guys were so underpaid, but didn't really try to throw the series. So pretty good cast. John Cusack's in it. Christopher Lloyd, young Charlie Sheen is in it. Good movie and historical purposes. I'm gonna go Eight Men Out, ninth round pick.
There you go.
All right, we are in the final round. Mr. Irrelevant coming up. You're up.
Well, from Mr. Irrelevant to Mr. October, I'm going with Reggie. It
Oh,
was a
you're gonna go with a documentary?
documentary about Reggie Jackson came out last year. Look, I could have gone Summer Catch, but it's not in my heart. And I could have gone like
Freddie
Hardball with
Prinze
Keanu
Jr.,
Reeves, but it's
baby.
not in my
There's
heart.
another guy who was just cranking out movies in the '90s. Was Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was cranking
Yeah,
him out. I think he has a baseball background. I think that was
maybe.
somewhat in his wheelhouse.
Okay.
And I was going to initially avoid documentaries altogether. But
I
a
didn't
few of
even
the
consider documentaries.
Reggie Jackson, it's a great it, look. If we're talking about movies to give recommendations and things like this, Reggie Jackson's Reggie is a great recommendation. It's on Amazon Prime. It's him telling his story. It's an extremely important story. It's a great story. Did he have five rings?
I don't know.
He kept winning
He had a lot.
rings.
Yeah, he won a bunch of. He won a bunch of the Yankees. Won a bunch of the Yankees.
Feel like you're not a Reggie Jackson fan.
Reggie Jackson likes himself a lot. He is the wind beneath his wings.
Well, if that is the case,
And that's part of,
this would be.
he kind of, I think he, I watched the documentary after you wrote about it and I liked it. I was entertained, but it was a lot from his perspective. And I think he told a little bit rosier story about things the way they went down.
Well, yeah, no, I think that there was anger in Reggie Jackson. I think there was anger in the way that he played the game, and I think that perhaps at this stage in his life, some of those things have softened.
Maybe a little, maybe a
But
little. I get the impression that they had softened too much, but
it's a man looking back. It's one of the baseball greats telling his story. There's also a Yogi Berra documentary last year that I missed. Did you see that
the
one?
documentaries could have opened this up to a whole other realm.
Well, that's why
Now,
I'm going in the 10th round.
yeah, good thing you waited until now when we're running out of time in the Zoom to do this, because I probably would ban it if not.
All right, in that case, let's go with
No.
Trouble with the Curve starring
We don't
Hilary
have time for this.
Swank.
I'm going. All right. Speaking of Reggie Jackson, I'm now thinking, like, could I consider Naked Gun a baseball movie? Yeah,
You
maybe.
certainly could. I mean,
Great.
that's like the Die Hard at
I
Christmas
love, by
argument.
the way, I
There's
love when.
baseball in the movie.
When Queen Elizabeth died, a year or whatever ago, Reggie Jackson tweeted out, "See, I told you I didn't do it," or something like that. or something. It was pretty funny. But anyway, okay, I'm torn. I got two here. I'm gonna go with, and I haven't seen it in a very long time, so I don't remember the names. But obviously, as a kid, it was a fun movie. You got to watch it a lot. It was the Bad News Bears the original?
Of course, yes. That was my other pick.
Walter Matthau, and as the manager again. It's all about the manager, right? Editor's note here. I meant Bad News Bears Breaking Training, which of course is the sequel, and this one does not have Walter Matthau. But
Absolutely. The manager is such a key role. We've really
and I
zeroed in.
remember,
That could be the follow-up list here, Tony, is great baseball managers in movies.
right, or baseball characters. Maybe we'll do that next year.
Yeah.
Baseball, but anyway, Bad News Bears, and like I said, I haven't seen it in a long time, but as a kid, I remember being a huge baseball fan growing up. When those kids got to walk into the Houston Astrodome, get ready to play a game, I was so jealous. Like, wow. And then when their time was up and they're like, no, we want to keep playing, but keep playing. And then all the fans are like, let them play. And then the Astros are coming out and they're like, let the kids play. And I'm like, yes, let them play. Anyway, Bad News Bears is going to round out this list. So let's recap really quickly.
Real quick, Bad News Bears was also remade by Richard Linklater, who made Everybody Wants Some, which just gets me to talk about Everybody Wants Some one more time.
All right, we each watched a movie. We each picked one movie that we haven't seen. But anyway, Adam's List, Major League, Everybody Wants Some, Field of Dreams, A League of Their Own, Bull Durham, Moneyball, Fever Pitch. I couldn't read my writing, and I couldn't believe that I had to write that. Tiger Town.
True.
That one you stole from me. It's one of the few that you stole from me. The Fan and Reggie, which again, if we had more time, I would ban that.
And also, I gotta admit, The Fan is a very silly movie,
I gotta
but it's
watch that.
stuck in
It's
my
been a
head.
while since I've seen it. I know I've seen it, but it's been a while. All
Yeah.
right. I went with The Sandlot, The Natural, Little Big League, For Love of the Game, The Rookie, 61, Major League 2, Brewster's Millions, Eight Men Out, and Bad News Bears. Another editor's note. Looking over my list, I accidentally crossed off Rookie of the Year, so it didn't end up getting drafted. If I had known that, I would have picked it here.
I
So
like the 8 minute call a lot.
I gotta say, looking at my list, I think I won.
The impartial party of yourself.
Yes. Anyway, what movies did we leave off here? That's we didn't leave off as many as I thought. Angels in the Outfield was one.
Yeah, Angels in the Outfield didn't make the cut. Again,
Someone was
Danny
talking to me
Glover is
about
the
that
coach, I
yesterday.
believe.
Someone was talking to me about it yesterday, and they were making the case for me to use that one. And they're like, "It really holds up." I'm like, "Does it?" The Angels in the Outfield.
Is holding up something that you can do when you didn't really pass the muster the first time around?
The kid's waving his arms. Yeah, it holds up. Okay. All right.
We missed we didn't talk about 42, the Jackie Robinson movie from
You
a
know
couple
what?
years
I
ago.
haven't seen that yet, and I'm embarrassed by that. I'm gonna watch that. So going through this list gave me a lot of movies that I gotta watch.
When you
Cobb
watch
was
it,
a
let me
decent
know. I
movie.
actually haven't seen 42 either.
Cobb was a decent movie.
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones,
Yeah,
Ty Cobb,
Tommy Lee
The Paris
Jones,
Connection.
and yeah, so that was good. So we missed that. We didn't miss as much as we thought. Mr. Baseball, Tom Selleck, huge Tiger fan. By the way, Major League back to the minors, 21% freshness rating compared to 5 for Major League 2.
Incredible. We'll have to do a watch, a
Yeah.
compare and contrast between 2 and 3. We didn't mention Hardball with Keanu Reeves. It came up quickly. Notable mainly that was number one over 9/11.
Okay. All right.
Or that was the first movie in theaters after, like, the first big release after 9/11.
And there was another movie called The Final Season, which I think had might have had Sean Astin in it, and it also had the manager from Major League was in that movie, and kind of an under the radar movie that I've seen a couple times, kind of like it. All right, Adam, this has
We
been
didn't
fun,
mention basketball either, and
but
that's
no,
where it
and
was.
there's a
The
good
movie was
reason.
terrible.
There's a good reason. I'm sure you were torn between that and Fever Pitch. All right, well that's it. That's our inaugural Major League Baseball movie draft. Has opening days coming up next year. Let's do baseball movie characters. We'll do that.
I'd love that. That's a great list.
We'll do that. So anyway, Adam Graham, appreciate it. You can follow him on X, Twitter, whatever. Check out all his movie reviews. Check out his music stuff. Works as hard as anyone at the Detroit News. And be sure to check
Thank you,
out
Tony.
DetroitNews.com. Buy a subscription, $1 for 6 months. Great value. If you can't afford it, email me. I'll Venmo you $1. Get you subscribed up. Yeah, check that out. We got all sorts of coverage coming up for opening day on Friday. Tigers, Oakland A's, Comerica Park, DetroitNews.com. Adam, we'll do it again.
Thank you very much.